How do you want your time?
What's the, is it 15?
Yes, it's
30.
15.
Okay,
Yes.
will you just let give me a heads up after 10 and then give that time? Thank you so much. All right,
All
shall I go
right.
ahead?
So our speaker, Freya, will now share her experience for 15 minutes on the end of step one and into step two. Thank you, Freya, for coming and for sharing with us.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Brandy, and thanks, Sally, for asking me. And it's wonderful to see so many familiar faces. My name is Freya. I am a recovered food addict and a chaos creator, controller fixer, Al-Anonic. And I'm coming to really get the adrenaline addict part of it too, as I continue to do this work. I was asking God, like, oh, what do you want me to speak on? I just wasn't getting any clear answers. And I kept just getting the nudge of like, just go do the next right thing, like really don't worry about it. So I just will share some of my experience that is from my recent work and trust that God's gonna make it useful. So, and if nothing else, at least I got to this meeting today. So that's how God works. So thank you. I'm incredibly grateful for this big book awakening process. And I was just thinking back, in I I'll back up a little bit. For those of you who haven't heard my story, I came into 12-step room, the 12-step rooms of OA, over 20 years ago when I was 19, and I had a lot of learning and unlearning to do. But I really never left. I just was like, I just never wanted to leave. I don't know why. It didn't look appealing. As I grew and recovered in OA and really understood the value of the steps, I got more convinced that I needed a deeper experience with the steps, and also became more aware of these, these pesky controlling, fixing behaviors that just weren't going away. And it led me to the Big Book Awakening, where I heard people sharing in a way that was really, really speaking to me. So in 2020, I was just so hungry. I was like, oh my gosh, get me into a workshop. Like I was just wanted the solution so badly. And since then, I'm glad to say I haven't been disappointed, and I have been through, both going through and taking other people through. I think I'm on my like fifth or maybe sixth round of going through this process. And I haven't like done all the answering questions and transcription every time. I'll just be honest about that. But like every time I do it and take other people through it, I get to have a new experience. So, like I said, I'm becoming more, like really identifying more as the adrenaline part. Whereas in the past, I kind of been like, yeah, the controlling, fixing, but I don't know about that adrenaline. That doesn't sound like me. And I'm just, it's amazing how if I just open myself up to the process, God shows me things. So I have the privilege and pleasure of taking a small group of women through this work, and we are in the last week of step one, that unmanageability piece. And if you're new, I hope you're not feeling excluded because I'm not going through and explaining, but hopefully this is makes sense and is applicable and helpful. We spend a lot of time in step one, and for me, a lot of it is about recognizing that, oh my gosh, I have this problem, the problem of the body, a problem of the mind, and a problem of the spirit, and it's actually worse than I thought. Like that's kind of my general step one is like, I'm screwed and it's worse than I thought. Whereas I came in thinking it was pretty bad, and I find out that's actually worse. So the unmanageability piece is like the nail in the coffin for me. It's I feel like everybody's frozen. No, okay. As long as you guys can hear me, just interrupt me. It's the part that really shows me why, it convinces me why I need to go through this process. And I'm gonna open up my book to 44, which is the beginning of We Agnostics. And at the bottom of 44, 44 is talking about, if I really identify in with the previous chapters, I really get that this is about me, and I also have to admit or concede or accept that the answer that's being offered here is spiritual. So that's like, that's the point here. And at the bottom of the page, it says, you know, if a mere code of morals, like if I had better ideas or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome my chaos creating, many of us would have recovered long ago. So if I just could manage better, if I could just, you know, see the world differently, if I could just, you know, like tweak something on the outside or even on the inside, then I can get over this thing. But we found that such codes and philosophies did not save us no matter how much we tried. And I don't know about you guys, but like, I'm here because I tried. Like, it's not for lack of trying that I'm here. It's that I tried, and this is me giving it my all, and I'm still coming up zero, coming up unsatisfied. We could wish to be moral, which is thinking and acting right. We could wish to be philosophically comforted, or my notes say, you know, to have a belief system that comforts me. I think that's from the transcription. We could want these things with all our might, but the needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, as marshaled or gathered up by my own will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. So this is really telling me I can't do this on my own, and I'm never going to be able to. And then we flip to page 51, 52 rather, where it goes into the bedevilments, and it's an opportunity for me to ask myself, is this my reality? And I love how they put it in the present tense. Am I having trouble with personal relationships? Can I control my emotional nature? Am I vulnerable to misery and depression? Can I make a living or a life worth living? Do I have a feeling of uselessness? Am I full of fear? Am I unhappy? Do I seem to be unable to be of real help to other people? And is it more like, what's more important, that I hang on to my old ideas or that I get a solution to these problems? And okay, so this is where I want to share some insights, which is the last, as I was going through this work, I had this insight. I was actually listening to a recording of another workshop, that actually this piece is such a gift and such a blessing. Like, if it were not for this unmanageability piece, I could go on not being convinced that I need spiritual help. You know, I could go on trying to manage. And it is because of this piece that I fully, fully surrender. And that is an amazing gift. When my self-reliance seems to work, when my managing seems to work, when things go to plan and suddenly like everyone's following my script, I can get this temporary feeling of, oh my gosh, it worked. Like, self-reliance really does work. And then I can really mess with my head and I can think, oh, so I've got power. So I can do it next time. So I can, you know, so I'm justified. And I get into that delusion that, that I can really run the show and it's going to work this time. And that will cause a lot of problems. And I think the biggest problem that it causes is that it doesn't really work. It's like this temporary fix that gives me this little high, but then I need more, and then I need more, and then I need more. And then I have to get up earlier, work harder, you know, be more kind or more aggressive. You know, like, it's when I think that burden of responsibility rests on my shoulders, it is not a fun life. It is so exhausting. So the gift of this, really accepting this last part of step one, this unmanageability, and the fact that I have this spiritual malady and that the answer is spiritual, is where I get to really lay down and accept and admit that, okay, that I need some other power, and it's not up to me. So I haven't seen it in terms like this before. Of like, I always kind of, like I said, it's like the nail in the coffin. It's like, oh, I'm really, really doomed. But actually, this is the key to freedom. You know, like, if I can really grasp this, then I am adequately motivated to go through the rest of these steps with an open mind. And that's where the real magic happens. So I feel like I'm probably getting short on time, because 15 minutes tends to go pretty fast. And
right, you actually have 6 minutes.
Okay, thank you. There is something else that I wanted to share about, which is, I don't know if this is going to seem like a totally different topic or not, but in my recent experience, I've become more aware of how one of my particular, you know, chaos creating behaviors is planning. Like it can be planning little things like, oh, what am I going to do today? You know, when my kids are at school, what am I going to get done? Or it could be big things like, oh, what, you know, what trip are we going to take in, you know, several months? And I am becoming aware of how that is like an immediate drug. Like I have like an immediate drug response to that. And in On Awakening, where it says we consider our plans for the day, I've known for a long time, like, nope, I can't go there. You know, like I have to not consider my plans. It, you know, like I have to invite God in, but I can't get into the planning head. And it feels like a new step one experience. You know, as I mentioned, like I'm a recovered food addict. And so learning to live, like learning how to eat, like learning like, oh my gosh, I'm eating addictively. And now I need to learn how to eat in a sane way. I feel the same call with the planning stuff. You know, it's like, okay, God, I don't think God is saying don't do any planning ever again in your life, but God is inviting me to a new experience with planning, because what it does to me is it, or what it does to me and what it does for me is it takes me out of the present, and it's a distraction. And if I, you know, like I could call myself a distraction addict, because that's like what it seems like all of my behaviors really do for me. It's like, oh, they'll just take me out of where I am. And then I can go off into la la land. Even if it's like not a happy la la land, it's like, I'm not here. I'm in my head. So I trust that God is going to guide me in, you know, okay, God, show me where is a safe, what's safe for me in terms of planning. And just like letting go of any substance, I feel a grief at like, I'm not thinking about the next thing. You know, I'm not like, oh, that, you know, whether it's later this week or whether it's, you know, several months from now, it's like, oh, I just get to be in today. Like, and there's like a little bit of sadness there. But like I mentioned, it's like, okay, that's what it's doing for me. What's it doing to me? It's keeping me distracted. It's keeping me out of the present. And guess where God is? Like God is in the present. Like only, God is only in the present. God is deep down within, right here, right now. God is not at the end of some to-do list that I've somehow magically like gotten through. Like God is right here. And to practice that is like, it feels like living a meditation where it's like, I'm just being asked to just be where I am. And like I mentioned at the beginning of this talk, I just kept getting that nudge of like, Freya, don't plan this. Don't write notes. Don't, you know, just like, just be where you are. And I had this like, this kind of letdown of like, oh, I just got to be where I am. You know, like I don't get this exciting high of, oh my gosh, I'm going to share the most amazing message and it's going to be so great. You know, it's like, oh, I just get to be me. So thank you all for being here. As soon as I got logged in the meeting and just saw your faces, like, oh, what a gift that I get to be here. And I love questions. So if you guys have questions, please ask. And I think because that doesn't require planning. And I'm just thank you for letting me share very extemporaneously. And I think that's all I have. So this stuff works. And thanks for being on the journey with me. I'll pass.
Thank you, Freya. That was wonderful. I needed to hear that. Let me stop the recording.